Lord, open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things from your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Faith. How the church likes that word. Well, so it seems. And I wonder if you think, so what is faith? It's one of those elusive words that we apply to all sorts of circumstances. I hear people sometimes say, well, I just don't have faith. And I think to myself, well, that's probably good. That's not what they mean, of course. What they mean is I do not believe that I could believe in that. But I want us to see that when we set out to pursue a faith that is rooted in yourself and in what your mind can construct, you will not succeed. But there is something inherent within us that thinks that that's what we've got to do. I've got to have faith in God. If I haven't got faith in God, therefore I will dismiss God and the reality of God because I cannot have a faith like that. And I'm not surprised. Now, I'm not talking here about the inherent faith that perhaps we need to have in ourselves at times. And sometimes I think there is a lacking of personal belief in one's own identity and one's certainty. And that comes because often the aberrations and all the things tied up with our identity that I spoke of in the previous series, where so often our identity is locked into all the sort of voices that speak to us in the imagination of our own minds. There is a self-worth issue that plagues our society. And there is that personal faith in our own identity that needs addressing. But in real terms, we only come to terms with having that kind of faith in ourselves when we know we are forgiven, which is something that God gives us. When we know that we are believed in, which is something God gives us. And the difficulty with a society that rejects God, and when we choose not to believe in him, we actually lose sight of the reality that God extends to us that turns all our self-belief on its head and finds something much more foundation. I was taught as a boy the acrostic for faith, and it goes like this, and many of you heard me say this before: forsaking all, I trust him. Forsaking all, I trust him. Is that absolute abandonment to him. It is beyond the intellect and yet is not lost on our mind either. In our reading from Mark 9, it talks about faith and the struggle we can have with it. Jesus and his inner circle have just come down from the mountain where they had an encounter with God, Elijah and Moses. And now they're confronted with a crowd and the rest of the disciples who have failed to heal a young lad. Jesus' response was one of frustration. His question actually still remains. Jesus said, "Unbelieving generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." Sounds like what I felt sometimes with my kids. And they probably with me. How long? When will they learn? Jesus is frustrated with his disciples because they were not able to deal with this demon. I wonder, is he also frustrated with us because we struggle with healing prayer? Earlier, Mark, Jesus called to himself the 12 and began to send them out two by two, and he gave them authority over unclean spirits. He commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey except a staff only. No bread, no wallet, no money in their purse, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you depart from there. And whoever will not receive you nor hear you, as you depart from there, shake off the dust from under your feet as a testimony against them. Assuredly," he said to them, "I tell you that it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." And they went out and preached that people should repent, and they cast out many demons and anointed many with oil who were sick and healed them. Jesus had given authority to his disciples, and they were able to cast out demons and heal the sick. Jesus promised them this authority, and it worked. Do we also have a promise from Jesus that gives us the authority to perform miracles of healing? Well, yes, we do. If we go to the Great Commission, we find that the task given to his disciples then and now was to teach everything I have commanded you, to obey everything I have commanded you. Jesus had commanded his disciples to heal the sick and cast out demons, and what he had told them is there for us as well. So what was the deal in today's reading? Why were the disciples not able to heal the boy? What went wrong? Why was Jesus frustrated with them? The problem is a human one. If we look at the history of the Old Testament, we learn that every time the children of Israel became successful, they thought they were doing it on their own. It was their thing. They achieved it. They began to leave God out of the picture, and the cycle repeats over and over again. The Israelites are in trouble, they turn to God, God rescues them. The Israelites become successful, they forget about God. Without God's protection, they get back into trouble. And once they're in trouble, they turn to God, and the cycle repeats. This demonstrates a problem that human beings have. Now, I think that's why Jesus said it was harder for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And he wasn't talking about anything figment of any sort of imagination or anything. He was thinking, I think, literally, of a camel fitting through an eye of a needle. It just wouldn't work. And why is that? Because the more wealthier we become, and that's not to knock wealth, because it's something we all are in possession of one way or another, but because when we become more successful and self-providing and self-secure, our need for God diminishes because of our independence and able to succeed. And I think that's a problem with our nation. That's why very often that revivals emerge out amongst the poor, because they have nothing else. And so then they look desperately for some way out and they find God. And God blesses that. What it means for us, wherever we sit, is that we need to ensure that our priorities are correctly placed in God. Because the drift can happen so subtly. One could suppose that the disciples, when they were praying for the boy, that they had forgotten the source of their power. They had forgotten that they were not the ones who were doing the healing. Instead, it is God who does the healing. In fact, the reading could suggest that the disciples didn't even pray over the boy. Jesus said to them, this kind can come out by nothing except by prayer and fasting. Now, Jesus doesn't qualify the words prayer or fasting. He doesn't say fervent prayer or intense prayer or persistent prayer and fasting. He just said prayer and fasting. Instead of asking God to drive out the demon, the disciples tried to do that in their own power. That's what could be suggested. I suggest that this is the reason for Jesus' frustration. Their faith was in themselves instead of God. They had not invited God and trusted him for the miracle. You see, we are helpless without God. Paul put it this way: you are dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. Dead people can't do anything. They can't even believe for themselves. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches, he who remains in me and I in him, the same bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. We can do nothing without Jesus. God's law demands perfection, and without Jesus we are doomed to a Christless eternity. The standard God has set is totally impossible. No matter how we might try, our only hope is in Jesus. At another time and place, Jesus said, there is no judgment against anyone who believes in him. But anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing God's one and only Son. It is only faith in the Son of God, Jesus Christ himself, that gives us hope, certainty, and significance. It is in Jesus alone, and it is in him alone who can deal with our shame and rejection. Jesus is the only solution for the demon-possessed lad. Jesus is also the only solution for us. Just as Jesus dealt with the demon in today's story, he also deals with all that alienates us from God. He does not ask us to earn acceptance. We can't. Instead, he has done it for us. He took our sin, our shame, our loss of identity onto himself and then carried it to the cross. And now he is the cure for the human condition that plagues us. We receive this cure by faith, but even here, our human nature can deceive us. The devil, the world, and even our own thoughts try to convince us that this faith is something we produce. In fact, there is a song that starts with the words, "I have decided to follow Jesus." It's a good song. I've often sung it, and I'll probably sing it again. But when it is compared with what Paul wrote to the Romans, "The mind of the flesh is hostile towards God. It is not subject to God's law, neither can it be." It is not only impossible for anyone to produce faith within themselves, but the person without faith is hostile to God. Having said this, we must be clear about the truth that I must choose to respond to God's invitation and His welcome. This is where faith is born. I don't generate the idea of God or think I have the ability to embrace God, but rather I'm choosing to accept the generous invitation God the Father has willingly extended to me. It is the Holy Spirit that stirs His faith to reach out to God, not me. It is God who lays out the path that I choose to step on, seeking Him above all else. Paul wrote, "Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by God's Spirit says Jesus is accursed. No one can say Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit." Just as the Father had to bring His Son to Jesus in today's story, we too need to be brought to Jesus. Martin Luther, the great reformer, explains it this way in the Small Catechism. He said, "I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to Him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with His gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith." There is no way for us to create faith within ourselves. The Holy Spirit gives it as a gift to us. This then brings us to the Father's prayer. "I believe, help my unbelief." When we pray this prayer, we acknowledge that our faith is inadequate. We can do nothing to maintain or strengthen it. We're crying out to God with our utter helplessness and begging Him to keep us in the one true faith until He comes to take us home to Himself in heaven. The Holy Spirit works to give us a faith that believes in God's grace, not in the stuff we think we can do. He calls us to believe in the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. He calls us to believe in the one who drives out demons and gives us true life instead. He calls us to believe in Jesus Christ. The faith that comes from within will fail us. The faith that comes from the world will fail us. Only the Holy Spirit's gift of faith in Christ Jesus will last forever. It is only through that faith will Jesus give us forgiveness, healing, hope, life, and salvation. And for me, I'm just so grateful for that. I'm just so grateful because I know that in my humanity, my faith is so inadequate, it is so weak, it's so passing. It seems like works today and tomorrow, it never seems to be there. And then I look at just the amazing invitation and welcome of God and I realize it is not actually about me. It's never going to work if it's about me. It has to be about Him. It has to be about just saying, "Lord, I believe to the extent that I can, help my unbelief. Grant to me, I beg you, the gift of faith that I might believe." Very interesting that Augustine said, "I don't understand in order to believe, but in believing, I've come to understand." And it's true. In my humanity, I run out. In Christ's divinity and the gifts He gives me, I find I can stand because He has made it possible. Lord Jesus, so much I want to do by myself. I'm an independent man. I don't like the idea that I have to be dependent on anything and anyone else. but in the recesses and the deep places of my soul, I recognize my own inadequacy and weakness. No matter how hard I try, I cannot achieve the very best that you would want for me, that you would want for us. So Lord, I believe something. Help my unbelief. Gift to me and gift to each one of us your Holy Spirit, that we may stand in absolute certainty of who you are and live out of that conviction as your son and daughter, wherever in this life you have placed us. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.